Good morning to each of you, and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Greetings from northern Minnesota, which is about right in the middle of the United States, right at the top. I live about 3 miles from Canada, and there was still snow on the ground when I left, and I hope there's no snow on the ground when I get home. We're ready for spring there. We are glad to be here with Katina and see where she serves, and see your spot in the world. Our spot in the world was started there about 80, 90 years ago, our little church. And we're still just a little church, a little spot in our world. And it's exciting to hear that the lights in Europe, different places as you serve here. So God bless you in that. I've been blessed by being here this morning. Blessed by the singing, the youth singing, the song that sung earlier, "The Lord is risen indeed." Hallelujah! Like, are we excited about that? Do we know the power of that this morning? I woke up this morning, I was dead out. I think I'm still trying to get my time straightened up here. But 6 o'clock here is midnight at home. And anyhow, I woke up. But when I woke up, it was like the power of the resurrection. Like, what do we have because of Jesus Christ? And we have something that the world knows nothing of. And we have it in our heart. And we have it in the lives that we live. And that is a powerful witness to those around us. As I was, I'm enjoying my time here in Ireland. I enjoy history. And I was like, so what is different about this spot of dirt than my spot of dirt? You know, they're both the same age. I was like, well, there's history here. Well, there's history in my spot as well. But there's no written history in my spot, or not as far back. The Europeans, the voyageurs came through there in the 17, 1800s, but there's no written history of that. You know, we found a skeleton behind my dad's house along the river, and a man had a broken leg. In his early 20s, they figured. Was he a voyageur who, you know, had broke his leg and died, or did they leave him? Like, we don't know that story. But your history here goes back a lot further than that, the known history, okay? And so I it fascinates me. And as we were out in Dingle yesterday and looking at some of the old ruins and just think of the people that lived here then and of the lives that they lived. People who probably did not know of Christ. People who are lost. And so we're in, my daughter likes shops. And she likes to go to these little shops. And they like to get their bubba tea and whatever the ladies like to do. And I'm kind of the odd guy here. And so they want to go in this little, you know, soap shop or whatever. And I stand out on the street. And I'm just watching people go by and wonder who they are. And do they know Jesus? And you know, this age doesn't know Jesus either. So this morning, what I have to share this morning, when Anthony called me a number of weeks ago and asked me to preach, I was like, well, it's Easter morning, and God brought a sermon to mind that I preached in 2015 on Easter morning. Never preached it before, never preached it since. But that's this phrase, just when Anthony called, this phrase stuck in my mind. That this is what I this is why I should preach this morning. And the reason that's exciting to me is because at home, last weekend, I decided I would preach the same message. And I sat down Saturday morning and put my message together, and you, if you're, you never preach it the same way twice. You always, you mix it up. In fact, since I'm here, I'm wishing I had my computer so I could mix it up some more. But anyhow, and I put my message together Saturday morning, and when I sat down Saturday night and was going over it, there have been events in that day that changed the meaning of the message, or changed the perception of how we would receive that message. And like, I just, I just read that first line that I had written, and I told my wife, I said, I couldn't have planned this for what our church is facing. And so I know that God brought the message, and I'm like, why he brought it here this morning, this message, I don't know, but he did. And I'm glad to share what God has given this morning. So my opening line is, life is full of unexpected and unplanned change. And we had that at our church last Saturday. And there are things that happen in our life that we did not foresee and that we did not plan. And completely out of our thought pattern. I don't know if you are familiar at all with the Dr. Leslie books, the ER books, that's kind of popular in our area for a while, and my boys are first responders, and we've read most of them. But Dr. Leslie was a doctor in an emergency room, and he wrote lots of stories about that. And he commented a couple different times. He would talk about getting your ticket punched, and you would come to the ER, and maybe the husband was just stumbling a little bit, or there was just something a little odd, and he's like, no, I'm fine. His wife's like, no, I think we should get it checked out. Or maybe someone would come in with a headache or something, and I'm just a little, something's not quite right. Well, everything seems right, and they do this, and they do that, and they, maybe they would check their eyes, and well, something wasn't quite right, and well, maybe we need an x-ray, and all of a sudden we realize that we have what we thought was something minor, all of a sudden we realize we have a major brain tumor. And we don't know where the train is going. We don't know where all we're going to go, but the ticket's been punched. And we're on a journey. And we don't know where that journey's going. Well, nearly 2,000 years ago, life was going on unchanged. The Jews had been the Jews for 2,000 years since Abraham. They were living there under the Romans, and life was going on. Jesus was there, but life was pretty, it was just going on. Jesus was teaching. The disciples were not aware that things were about to change. They knew Jesus was in danger. Thomas said, well, why don't we just go to Jerusalem with him so we can die with him? He was kind of the pessimist of the year of the group. But he's like, they knew Jesus was in danger, but they did not know where all that this was going. And that trip started, and Jesus was betrayed, and he was arrested, and he was tried, and he was crucified. But then 3 days later, we got the climax of that nobody knew was going to happen, except for Christ. So this morning, I would like to think about that this morning, of that event changing life for the disciples that they did not know was coming. Like we look back and we see that as maybe a climax of history. Actually, the climax is coming yet when we get to go home to glory. But that we see that as the climax of the salvation story. But to the disciples, it was just another day that went bad. But 3 days later, that turned around. So this morning, I would like to look at the 3 days later. That is where we are this morning. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Drop down to verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. An unprecedented time in history where Jesus, who is God's son, he's God, was nailed to a cross and was tortured. And at that time, Christ felt forsaken. I said in church last week, I said, at that time, the Father turned away, and Brother Joel comes to me after church, he said, where does the Bible say that God turned away? That's not in Scripture. That phrase is not there. He's looking. Well, we know God, he felt forsaken. But he let Christ be there in his agony and in his shame. And I don't know if the angels knew what was happening or not. We don't know that. But imagine if you was the angels in heaven and you were watching what was happening. You know, it was just 33 years before they had sung Glory to God in the highest. The Messiah is here. And now what's happening? God the Father. Why aren't we doing what's happening? Imagine how they felt. I don't know if, you know, angels I don't think had outrage. But there was another story after that. Again, the 3 days later. Luke 24 and verse 1. This is the 3 days later. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other woman that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I'm going to start with the angels this morning. I'd like to look at different groups and their reactions to this account. And we read that account, and we know the account, and we know the story, and we've heard it before. I mean, I've heard it for 53 years. You know, what can I recall? Maybe I can recall 50 years. I've known this story. Jesus is risen. But just think of this if you're there in that context. So I'm going to use my imagination a little bit with the angels, and maybe this isn't theologically correct. But imagine a bit if you're the angels and you're in heaven and you've spent your whole existence praising God. There's the seraphims that just fly around singing, holy, holy, holy. There's those that were over the mercy seat. They would be angels sent at times to come down and give messages to men. The angels came down and sang, glory to God in the highest. This was their job. They're up there worshiping the Lord. And now they had just watched Satan, their arch enemy, the one that they're fighting against, and they just watched him kill Christ. And I don't know if they were privy to what was going on or not. Did they know that there was a plan? They knew there was animosity, they knew there was fighting, but really that Christ was killed? Did they know that there was a plan? Did they know that Christ was going to rise again? Did they know that? Did they observe with keenest interest that morning as they knew, they watched? It's day three. Christ said, on day three, he's going to rise. Did they look? Did they watch? Were the saints of heaven there observing? As the sky started to lighten. And they watched. And they watched. And they counted down the seconds. And yes! He's out! He came out! He's alive! He's here! Imagine their excitement. Did they shout? You know, they shout when a sinner repents, they rejoice in heaven. Why did it sound like in heaven that day? That it's been done. It's accomplished. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He had finished his work, but now he was resurrected. It was done. It was finished. And instantly there came a command from the Father, and it was a thundering command. It was go! And two angels streaked off to the earth and came down to the tomb and rolled back that stone and sat there. Can you see that scene in heaven of joyous celebration? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Weren't they excited about that? There was a second group. Turn to Matthew 27. And their response wasn't quite so exciting. Matthew 27 and verse 62. I'd like to think about the guards a little bit. Now the next day, following the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remembered that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Like they knew that. The Pharisees knew that this is what he said he was going to do. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So imagine the guards. Now I dead people are dead people. I don't know if you've ever, we see people in a casket, but a person that dies, they're dead. There's nothing fearful about them. And these guys were sent on an assignment to guard a dead man to make sure that he didn't come alive. Okay? Probably not going to happen. Not something to be really worried about. Some people are superstitious, though, and they find graveyards very, very frightening. If you read any of Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, or Huck Finn, you know, and the little boys, and they're scared of the ghosts and the goblins and whatever, you know. There are people that actually get worried in graveyards. My dad's not one of them. My dad's a grave digger, and he's 75 years old, and he digs graves. He can't go on vacation. He doesn't like to because he's always checking his obituaries to see which grave he has to dig next, you know, because he's got to go home and dig a grave. And you know what? If my dad's going somewhere and he recently went to a funeral somewhere, and he was tired and he was driving a distance, so he just found a graveyard and pulled in and took a nap. Graveyards are quiet places. There's nobody there to bug you in. Like, it doesn't bother him at all. But imagine if you was a soldier and you were just a little superstitious and you were fearful of the dead. And then you are giving an assignment of guarding the dead to make sure he didn't come out of the ground. Just think about that a little bit. I'm quite certain they weren't sleeping. Besides, it was a crime punishable by death to sleep. But just the very nature of the task would have lent itself to sleeplessness. You know, this guy's gonna come out in 3 days. So you guys go there and make sure he doesn't. You know, put a seal on the door and make sure he doesn't come out. And we don't know who or how many, but since there was a watch, some people say a watch was 4 soldiers. But as dawn began to break, there was a great earthquake, and the stone rolled away. I mean, imagine you're sitting there, you're guarding this, and all of a sudden, you know, the things start shaking. And I don't know, was there an explosion of light? Did Christ come out? But we know the stone rolled away, and an angel's sitting there, and they're laying there like dead men. And you know what? They said the same thing as everyone else, but they said a little different. They said, "He is risen." It was a squeaky little voice. There wasn't much excitement in this one. But he is risen. Mary was at the cross. I'd like to look at her a little bit. She's one of the last ones at the cross. Matthew says that they were sitting over against the sepulcher. They were sitting there watching the crucifixion from nearby. They saw everything. They saw them nail him to the cross. They saw him set him up, set that cross up in the hole there, or however they did that. They saw Jesus' last words. They saw the spear. They had watched it. But they didn't have time to prepare the body because it was the Passover and they just had to chuck him quick into the, stick him in the grave. So they're coming this morning to bring some spices. And who's going to roll that stone away for us? And we thought he was the Messiah and he's gone. And then when she gets there, this tomb's open. Like the stone's rolled away. And she's like, now what are we going to do? And she pokes her head in there. And she sees the angel sitting there. And I don't, you know, when the angels weren't just sitting there like a bunch of pious, you know, they weren't sitting there, I don't think. And she pokes her head in there like, "Oh, by the way, Jesus isn't here. You know, he left a while ago. He rose." No, I don't think that's the way it was at all. Like, she pokes her head in there and like, "Hey, he's not here. Like, he's gone. Like, you know, remember what he said he was going to do? He's gone. He's out of here. Go tell his disciples. You need to go tell them." And Mark says that she trembled and fled. Luke says she went and told the disciples. John says she went and told the disciples that someone has stolen Jesus' body. Like, she still didn't know what was going on. Imagine the confusion of I mean, it's grief. It's days of, if any of you have lost a loved one, you know the brain fog, the whatever, you know, and it's grief, and she's in the midst of this, and now he's gone, and did someone steal him or whatever. So she goes and tells the disciples. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. She goes and tells the disciples, and they don't believe her. I think it's kind of a fairy tale. They actually go and look. We've seen that already this morning. John chapter 20 and verse 10. So after she's gone and talked to him, Peter goes and looks in. Notice here what it says in 20 and verse 10. "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." I never noticed that before until this time. The disciples came and looked and they went home. Now what? "But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she looked down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting." And so she's been there once already. Now she's back again the second time. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him again. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Jesus, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them that I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Imagine when Mary is there and she sees Jesus and she's like, Here's a stranger. She's like, Where'd they take him? And when she said his name, she recognized his voice. And she's like, Rabboni, you are risen. Like, you really are. You are risen. And this time, and then Jesus says, Go and tell your brethren. And this time when she goes to tell her brethren, she has a message. Like, she goes tearing back and she's not fearful anymore. She goes back, she says, He is risen. He really is. Like, I saw him. I talked to him. He really is. Like, this is true. Imagine that excitement. Think of the men on the road to Emmaus. If there's ever a place in history I would like to be, it would be on the road to Emmaus. I would love to have heard what Jesus said about, as Jesus explained all the Old Testament and all the Scripture. Like, I would love to have been there for that conversation. But these men, you know, maybe they heard from Mary. They certainly knew, you know, they were in Jerusalem that morning and they're on their way to Emmaus that day. We don't know who they were. They were not part of the 12, apparently. But they're discussing that morning as they're, the events of that week, as they're walking. And they're walking along, and you know, remember, he said this, like, a couple years ago, he had talked about this, you know, when we were walking, remember that time in the desert, he said, yeah, I remember he said that, and he said, well, how does that line up, but isn't he God, like, why would he let the people kill him, what would be the point of that, and I mean, if he's just going to raise again, how would that make sense? And they're just, and Mary said this, and Peter saw this, and John believes, but I don't. And you know, there's just this, just going on. And then this guy comes along and joins them. You know, he just starts walking alongside. What's up, guys? Well, what do you mean, what's up? We've been talking about what happened in Jerusalem. What happened there? Like, where you been? You know, I mean, don't you know this? And so they start talking to him and telling Jesus about this stuff, and he just opens up the scripture and just starts explaining to them. And this is what this prophecy means, and this is what this verse means, and this is what this means. And I would have loved to have been there to just hear all that. But you know, they still didn't get it. They still hadn't seen him. Their eyes still weren't opened. They're just in their normal, they're just normal life, and they're visiting with this guy, and he's giving this information. I don't know what all they were thinking, but and it came evening, and they invited him into the house with them, and they sat down for bread, and he broke bread, and immediately they knew who he was. That was Jesus. And then he's gone. Like, oh, no. Like, we just here. Like, we just saw him. He was just with us. And yeah, that was him. And no, where'd he go? And they turn around and they told Jesus to come with them for the night because, you know, it's the road to Emmaus is, you know, this is rough and rugged and There's robbers out there, and it's not the place you want to be at night. So they tell the stranger, just come stay with us for the night. It's a safe place to be. And they turn right around and go right back out where they told him he shouldn't be. And they head back to Jerusalem because they had a message. We have seen him. And they get there, and they get to Jerusalem, and they said, he is risen. Like he is. We saw him, and we talked to him, and he explained some of this stuff to us. And the more, as the days progress, you can imagine Peter walking down the street and someone comes up to him and says, Peter, he has risen. And Peter's like, he has risen indeed. I have seen him. I talked to him. And someone else, he's risen. Oh, he has risen indeed. Yes, indeed he is. Yes, yes, he is. He's alive.
Many years ago, when my oldest two children, about 4 and 2 or 5 and 3, somewhere. They were just little. And we were reading through, I think it was Christian Age Children Bible Stories. And we're going through there. And of course, Dad was being a storyteller. And we kind of played up that Jesus is really good guy. And all of a sudden, the bad people killed him. And he's dead. And he's dead. And my children were just like sad. They were kind of dejected. And of course, Dad played it up a little bit too, you know? He's dead. And then we came to the resurrection. And these little children, their eyes just lit up. Wow! Jesus is alive again! Like, it was, and it's never happened with our other children like that, but that one time, it was so alive to them that Jesus is alive. It was exciting. And I suppose, when Lazarus was raised, there was people said, hey, did you hear Lazarus is alive? Oh, yeah, I heard he is again. You know, poor guy's going to have to die another time. But there was, you know, they know he's alive, but it was just that our friend Lazarus is back, you know, and it's good to have him here again and good for Mary and Martha. They don't have, but there was no eternal significance, no point of whatever. Just kind of glad he's here. When Jesus rose from the dead, I think there was probably some of that same stuff still going on. They're like, oh, showed the Jews this time, didn't we? we expected he was just going to walk away. You know, Judas didn't expect him to crucify Christ. Did he just expect him to walk off or whatever like he'd done before? Well, he didn't walk off. He let him kill him, and then he came back anyhow. Got the Jews that time, you know. Now we're going to go on, and we're going to conquer the world, and we're going to get rid of the Romans, and we're going to... No, there was a greater message. And when did they get that? I don't know. I don't know when they got that picture. Was it when Jesus met him in the upper room afterwards, you know, when Thomas was there and says, put your hands in my side, and did he visit with them and tell them the things? Was it when they were sitting by the seashore and Jesus, you know, they had their draught of fish and they brought it in and Jesus is talking to Peter, lovest thou me? And was it there that they got the message? The man on the way to Emmaus got some background to it. But by the time they got to Pentecost, they had the message. And they knew that there was something special about this. They knew there was this bad thing that had happened. And there was a ticket that was punched and it was just looked all bad. But what they didn't know was at the end of that, there was a resurrection. And the only way that there could be a resurrection was because at first there was a crucifixion. And that story has changed our lives forever. The way we live, the way we think, the places we're going, the way we observe life. And we know that this is the source of salvation. Like, we know that, and we can say, you know, well, the reason I am the way I am is because I accepted the Lord and Christ changed me, and whatever. We know that. But there's also the power of the resurrection that is available to us as Christians to live a life of victory and to go on. Like, that power is still available to us today. And it doesn't matter what life throws at us, we still live in that power of the resurrection. And so last week, we found out that one of the men in our church has a pretty good chance that he has cancer. We don't know for sure. It's just kind of preliminary. We got the message on Saturday. Preliminary tests show that our brother doesn't look good. But you know what? The power of the resurrection is still where we live today. And even when we get bad diagnosis, we can still live in joy and hope. Like, we don't die as those who have no hope. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus came and took a journey so that he could walk with us on our journey, wherever that is today. And you know, we, like I said, we get excited about Jesus coming to save us. But Jesus came to live within us and to give us that day-to-day hope and joy and power to live again. So I hope this week that as you go about your business, whatever that may be, whether you are, whatever your occupation is, that as you do that, that you would live in the power of Christ's resurrection within you, and that people could see that newness of life in your eyes, and they could see that in your life, and they could wonder, who is this? And can they tell that you've been with Jesus?